Welcome to Life Talks. My name is Ben. I'm the lead pastor at Life Fellowship in Cornelius, North Carolina. I'm here with Josh, our producer.
Good to be here.
It is good to be here.
It is.
It's a beautiful. If you're not in North Carolina right now,
this is the good weather part.
It is.
This is the really 80, really
it
nice
is 82
part.
And sunny and absolutely beautiful. Do you get bothered by allergies, pollen? Is that something?
I don't have too many allergies, which is good because as bad as the pollen is here, yeah. We used to live in an even worse place.
Really?
We added our first apartment when we first got married, you know, almost 20 years ago. Literally, we would walk out to the car in certain seasons and it would be caked.
Oh, wow.
Caked yellow.
Yeah.
And so luckily, no, I don't have too many of the allergy things. I feel bad for those who do.
Yeah. I mean— I used to be affected really bad when I was younger. I'm not affected very much anymore, but I know there are certain people that just are affected majorly in a season. But hey, if you don't, it's awesome outside.
Yeah.
it's 80 and sunny and I don't know what you're doing, but I praise God for the beautiful spring weather here in the Carolinas. Josh, we started a conversation on temptation.
Yep.
Last episode, and really talking about what it is.
Yeah.
And today we're going to be talking about how to fight temptation, because temptation, as we talked about last episode, it's going to happen. Again, James chapter 1, that each person is tempted when he is drawn away and enticed by his own desires. And so I've got about six battle strategies. I don't know what you want to call them.
We can stick with the battle metaphors. I feel like that's appropriate in this situation.
I feel like it's such a traditional Christian, like, fighting temptation.
It is. Yeah,
and
there
got
is
a guy with a gun.
There
I don't
is.
Know.
There is that.
Here's the first thing. I mentioned this briefly at the end of our last episode. The first battle plan is you have to be honest about your desires. If you are not honest about what you are tempted with, you're not going to be able to deal with it. Mm-hmm. I think for so many, and this is hard. Mm-hmm. This is so hard because you have to first be willing, you have to be honest with yourself first.
Yeah.
One of the things that I have learned in counseling and just even in my own life is change does not happen apart from total and complete honesty. That if you want to change, you first have to be honest with yourself. That means if there's something that you're doing that's not right, or there's some kind of pattern of behavior in your life that's just not, you know, you've got addictions, you've got this. If you're not first honest with yourself to say, I have a problem, or yeah, I know why I did this. A lot of people want to excuse away their behaviors by saying, yeah, well, this is just, that was their fault. And if this person didn't show up at my house, and if
it's
this person—
always their fault. If,
yeah, that, or, you know, Satan is just after me.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. We talked about this last episode. Satan is after you. That doesn't mean you have to do what he says. Okay? And so it's really important to understand that you can, if you give into temptation, if that worm on the hook is there, you know, and here's the thing, as a Christian, before you're a Christian, you just see the worm. But knowing that you understand what sin is and who's behind sin and understanding your flesh and understanding what God's expectation of you. I mean, you know it all.
Yeah.
And if you know that and you know there's a hook on the other end of that worm and you still bite it.
Yeah.
Dude, just be honest.
Yeah.
Just be honest and say, I wanted the worm.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So I think it's really important for if you're struggling with sin and struggling with temptation, you have to be honest about your be honest about your desires. And like we said about last episode, make sure that you're able to identify the good desires and the bad desires and understand if you have good desires, understand what are the bad ways you're trying to fulfill that good desire and learn how to let God fulfill that desire in a way. I mean, when he's talking to the woman at the well and he's saying, I can give you living water. He's saying, you're thirsty, but you're thirsty for something more than just this water here.
Yeah.
You've been with five men. You've been married to five men. The man you're with now is not your husband. She, if I was going to analyze her problem, she was longing for some kind of emotional and relational intimacy.
Yeah.
She was longing to be loved and accepted by a male figure in her life.
Yeah.
And it couldn't satisfy her. No matter how many men she attached herself to, it was never enough. And so her desire for intimacy and her desire for love was a really good desire, but it was being fulfilled in a wrong way. And Jesus was saying, I'm it. I am the one that can give to you, that can fulfill this longing so that you'll never thirst again. And so that's really important for us to understand. Until we are honest about our desires, we can't let Jesus fulfill them.
Yeah.
And so,
yeah.
So it's so easy in the Christian world to not be honest because we want to present a facade of who I am and what I look like. And, I don't struggle with that as much. Or you need to find, and if you're not honest with yourself, you're never going to be honest with anybody else. But you mm-hmm. need to find people in your life, even if it's a couple, that you can say, hey, this is my struggle.
Mm-hmm.
There's something freeing about being honest.
Yeah.
If you're not honest about those things, what ends up happening is you always question whether or not someone really loves you. Because deep down, what you're saying is, yeah, you love me and you accept me and you're my friend, but you don't really know me. And deep down, your soul knows that they don't really know you.
Yeah. Yeah. I always go back to the burden from Pilgrim's Progress concept with that. There is such an unburdening kind of a thing that you can do. But I wanted to add, there's also, this is also really clever too for the enemy when this is coming from the enemy and not our own bad desires, is you want to make things easy for the enemy, then go into battle completely, underestimating your weaknesses, expecting that it's going to be super easy to go into this. Like, that's not how the great military battles of cinema start. Like, it always starts with a big plan, and we're going to figure out how to do this. Like,
Or alone. You're doing it alone. And that's the whole point. When you're honest with another person and you say, this is my struggle, and they look at you and they give you attunement and grace and love, all of a sudden you're like, oh, they know me and I'm not rejected.
Hmm.
That's so huge. That's so important as a human being to receive the love and the acceptance of another human being after you tell them, this is the fullness of my sin. Now, we know Jesus gives that to us perfectly, but I think us as followers of Jesus are the hands and feet, are the representatives of Jesus, and she can show people the human side of that in ways that we'll experience that fully when we see Jesus face to face. I think it's really important.
Use a really cool psychology word, but I don't even know what it means. Attunement. What does attunement mean when for the other person that you are confessing to?
Yeah, attunement means I see you,
and I
understand you, and I'm. It's kind of like
you're tuning into the music, wavelength.
Yeah, in a music sense, when you're on tune with something, everyone's kind of playing to the same.
We're all going to A440 would be like the scientific.
Yes, exactly. So the whole point is we're all attuned. Like the who I am, I see you, I know you, I understand you, and I'm here for you. I'm present.
Yeah,
that's really important for people to feel. I think one of the most important things that people long to be is seen. That's why Hagar in Genesis 16, when she's alone and running away from the abuse that she experienced from Abram and Sarah, God meets her and she names God the God who sees, El Roi. And it's the first person in human history that names God. The God who sees.
Wow.
And here's a woman who probably has never felt seen before.
Yeah.
She was a slave girl.
No one sees slaves.
Right? She was a slave girl, and she was used and abused to give Abram a child.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, it's like, no, but I see you.
Yeah.
That's what every human being longs for.
Yeah.
Okay? So number one, be honest. Number two, plan your response. All of us know when we're tempted, where we're tempted, how we're tempted. And if you're like, hey, every Friday night when I go with my friends, I end up getting drunk, but I don't want to get drunk. Well, okay, well, guess what? What's your plan? What's your plan when you're saying, well, I don't want to gain weight and I don't want to overeat, but when I keep going to Golden Corral,
don't do that.
It's like, you got to have a plan, man.
Yeah.
So, okay. I'm not saying, well, you don't want me to go out and have fun with your friends. No, maybe not. Maybe not those friends.
Right.
Or if you're going to go out with those friends, you have to have a plan of I'm not drinking, or I'm only going to bring something else, or I'm going to drink something non-alcoholic. But you have to have a plan in every environment, in every situation. One of the things that most people fall into temptation is when they're just they're just, there's this empty space of time.
Hmm. Bored.
They're just, I'm just going to wander around. And when you wander around, whether you wander around the internet,
people are bad,
or you wander around the grocery store, just wander around the mall. I wander around the mall and I just left with $200 spent. Like, don't do that. Don't wander around.
Yeah, you're asking for it.
Yeah, so have a plan. Satan understands where your weak points are, and he's going to try to find the hole in the fence.
Yeah.
Of what's there. Yeah. We talked a little bit about that last episode.
The weak link.
So he's going to find that weak link, and you know this. When you play Red Rover. Remember that game when you were a kid? Did you ever play Red Rover?
I don't actually know what that is.
Oh my word, Josh. So Red Rover was this game you played. You line up kids, bunch of kids on, they would face each other, but you're locking hands or arms.
Okay.
I think it was hands.
Okay.
Arms, you could hurt someone. And the one line of kids say, Red Rover, send Charlie over. And Charlie's got to run, and he's got to break through.
Oh, he's got to get through.
And if he breaks through, he can take someone from their side over to your side. But if he can't break through, he ends up on their team. The whole idea is to get the strongest people.
Yeah.
And so when you're playing Red Rover,
yeah.
And you call this guy over, he's going to look for the two girls that are like,
right.
They're kind of like squinting, like, please don't, yes. please don't run.
Yes.
And you just run your guts out to try to run through that. And Satan's
demolish
like,
them.
Satan knows, is like, I know exactly where the weak link is. And so that's what he's,
such a good
that's
analogy.
That's what he's trying to attack. And if you don't have a plan for what you're to build up your weak links.
Right.
And here's the thing.
Don't link up the two girls. Like, there is a plan. There are ways.
But here's the thing. Know this, and this is really important, that part of your growth as a Christian is learning that every time you sin or fail, it exposes something that you can improve upon. So don't beat yourself up. Again, get curious about your failures and say, okay, why did I fall into temptation in that moment? Instead of going to shame or self-condemnation and beating yourself up or ignoring it, but get curious and in a posture of learning and growing and saying, God, teach me what I need to, how do I change this?
So asking for a friend, for those that are struggling with that, how do they just do that? Like, I love that idea of being curious.
Yeah.
I think that is such a good, and I've heard experts talk about that idea. Mm-hmm. I love that. But there are some people, like, that is not at all the natural.
No, it's what's natural is the beating yourself up, self-condemnation, or defensive super, again, I didn't do anything wrong, ignoring it, bearing the problem.
Sure.
You have to, if you don't understand what went wrong, it's going to happen again.
Hmm.
If you don't understand, okay, what was going on? Going back to, okay, was I getting enough sleep? Was I, getting enough, was I eating well? Was I, was I alone? Was I lonely? Hmm.
I have a plan for that time.
Yeah, so you're learning things about yourself and you're learning where the holes are.
Yeah.
And every single time, get curious, dissect it. You treat it like a crime scene. When you're a detective on a crime scene, you're not beating up the victim.
Yeah.
Okay. And again, what I'm not saying is treat your sin lightly. I'm not saying that.
Yeah.
You need
to
repent of your sin and you need to confess your sin. But going to shame and going to condemnation does not help you. The gospel sets you free to say, even when I sin, I'm fully loved by God through Jesus Christ. That's what gives you the freedom to be curious. That's what gives you the freedom to boldly approach the throne of grace, even after you sin. That is the gospel. And that's what gives you the freedom to get curious and to understand, like, hey, I need to understand what went wrong, okay? Yeah. So third battle plan is don't mistake busyness for holiness.
Ooh.
So a lot of times what happens is we're not tempted for a while, and maybe we're not tempted because, man, I've been so, your schedule's been so tight with meetings and just regular family obligations and work obligations. Yeah. And I've here, and all of a sudden it's like, you've been so busy that you haven't even been tempted. And you're like, I'm doing really well.
No, you gave into the temptation of being a workaholic, abandoning your family or something like that.
And so I think a lot of times we mistake, whether it's busyness or I was in an environment where I couldn't be tempted.
Right. There were always people around.
For actual holiness. So don't, again, this is a be honest with yourself kind of thing.
Yeah.
But don't, a false strength.
Yeah.
False strength is one of the greatest ways that we can fool ourselves into thinking, I'm further along than I am.
Yeah.
And you're not.
Yeah.
You just found yourself in the right conditions that didn't allow for temptation.
Which is maybe great information. Like, you should take note of that. Yeah. Like, that was great, you know, but.
But that doesn't change the heart.
Right.
And I think that's really important.
Yeah.
And that leads me to the fourth point is, it's the law of the better pleasure. Knowing that, again, you can't always have the best conditions. There are going to be times that you're going to be alone. There are going to be times you're going to feel weak. But you've got to, I talked about this with the whole lust series or the lust episodes. I talk about fences and wells. The well is tasting and seeing how good the Lord is. Hmm. The living water of Jesus. When there's this pleasure. Moses, I can't remember the exact verse, but in the Hall of Faith chapter Hebrews of 11, it says Moses, seeing what Egypt was, forsook it for a better reward. It's like he knew what Egypt offered, and he said, I want something better than that. And I think many of us, we just fall victim to the lesser treasure. It's that fleeting treasure of, oh, it feels so good to gossip in the moment. Mm-hmm. But then I feel horrible. And then I second guess. And then I wonder if they're going to hear about this. And it's just like all of these things in our lives that we feel horrible after we give in.
Yeah.
And so when we choose what's right and we follow God and we taste and see how good God is, we need to remember that good pleasure. We need to say, oh, this feels really good.
Yeah.
And the law of the better pleasure is that you're starting to fade away from the desires or the temptations. Those temptations will become less and less and less. You know, it's like when someone who's been addicted to certain foods and they all of a sudden are eating really healthy and they feel really good.
Yeah.
And someone brings out a chocolate cake and it's their favorite chocolate cake. And they're like, boy, there have been a day that you put that in front of me and I'm going to indulge.
Yeah.
But man, I feel so good right now. Hmm. I don't even want that.
Yeah.
That's really important. So anyways.
Yeah. Okay. Just a couple of quick questions. So if we know, and we talked about this at the very end of the last episode, that sometimes temptation comes from, can I just call it the enemy? Would that be well, it's called the enemy, or sometimes it's just ourselves. Given that, how ought we deal when temptation comes up? Because I know a lot of people will pray like, get behind me, Satan, like that kind of thing. But if you don't know that it's spiritual warfare, like, do you do a prayer that kind of covers both and, like, it covers both your bases?
Oh, yeah. I mean, and I'm glad you brought that up. That actually brings me to my fifth battle plan.
Oh, nice.
And that is use your weapons, which is, or your resources, which is the Word of God and the Spirit and prayer, right? So the Word, the Spirit, and prayer. Jesus quoted Scripture. When Satan came to him and said, no, this is the truth. And so he was combating a false truth with a real truth.
Yeah.
We know from Ephesians chapter 1 that the same Spirit that rose Jesus from the dead is living inside of you. That should wake all of us up.
Yeah.
And knowing that prayer is this weapon. So here's what I go back, and I can't remember if I shared this before or not. When I was going through in my past, whenever there's an issue in my life that I've got to overcome, and this is what works for me. Mm-hmm. I don't know if this works for everyone.
Right.
I just look back in my life, and whenever God's like, hey, you got this, what I will do is I've got my notebook and I will write down, I will use Blue Letter Bible and I'll research every verse in the Bible that has this kind of concept in it.
Huh.
Okay. And I will write down, not every verse is applicable, but I'll try to write down 5 to 7 verses that are really that will help me change my mind. And I'll write them down and I will keep them in a notebook and then I'll pray them through every single day just to practice praying them, changing my, being transformed by the renewing of your mind. It says that in Romans 12:2.
Yeah.
So I have got to do the hard work of kind of plowing the ground and knowing like, I don't want to do this. I want to do this. And so I'm setting my mind to those things. And then when I'm praying through that every day, I'm much more aware when that opposite thing is coming in. I'm not oblivious. I'm not like, oh, I just got tempted out of the blue. No, my mind is set towards, I want to change my heart.
Yeah.
I want my heart to be changed so that that the thing that is tempting isn't as tempting anymore. And so I think that is where the using the resources that you have, the idea that at the end of the day, I want my heart to be changed.
Yeah.
That is what's going to, and I praise, and if you get to the point, those of you who are mature in your faith, you know that there are certain things that used to tempt you no longer tempt you.
Oh, that's exciting.
and praise God for that. But
I mean, that's obviously true. Yeah,
but what I think is important is don't let that lead to pride. Let it lead to gratitude.
Yeah.
Because if you let pride, you're like, oh, look how well I'm doing. Yeah. That's the first sign that you are going to do bad.
Right. Now you're
going
to be tempted to have a pride problem.
Seriously. And sometimes you'll exchange your sin for another sin, which is pride, and that's even worse. And so
don't do that.
I think it's really important that, you know, change that victory to gratitude and praise.
Yeah.
And that way, what you're doing is you're always keeping in mind that any victory I have is the Lord's. And so I think those are really important to do.
Yeah. All right. I want to ask you one last question. This might be a little bit controversial, but as a Protestant pastor, how do you feel about rituals? And I'm going to give you a specific ritual that I know some people use in temptation. So my brother became an Eastern Orthodox person. And so during his transition, you know, people in the Eastern Orthodox Church do more rituals. I mean, just any kind of high church, Anglicans, Catholics, there's more rituals. Yes. And that can feel kind of weird.
Yes. Yeah.
If you've grown up in, you know, like a non-denominational, you know, church or whatever. But there was a prayer, and I'm just curious, what do you think about people repeating the Jesus prayer? Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Like, Tim would repeat that sometimes, just as like a God kind of build faith in me.
Yeah.
I can't say I know all the things that that means, but there's a humbling thing about that.
I think rituals are really good.
Huh,
okay. I think they're good, but they are not. You have to be careful that rituals, like anything, or we could call them disciplines. Right? Dallas Willard, if you've ever read anything from Dallas Willard, he wrote a book called Spirit of the Disciplines. And that is a beautiful book because what he gets to is the spirit behind the disciplines. You can read the Bible and pray every day, but it becomes some kind of external religious activity. And what you have to do is continually allow your heart to be freshened by the word of God.
Yeah.
And disciplines are important. I think disciplines are good, but they are not, disciplines do not necessarily lead to righteousness. At the end of the day, it's our love. It's our love for God that leads to righteousness. If your righteousness is not rooted in love, it's only external and it's only temporary.
That's really interesting.
So love, like walk in love as Christ has loved you. Abide in my love, for apart from me, you can do nothing. Like there's this reality of if I want to, those who love me keep my commands. Jesus brought that up in the his upper room discourse. Love and obedience are so intrinsically tied that the rituals or the disciplines that lead to obedience are important, but they have to be built on a foundation of love because love is what feeds those things. But I think disciplines and rituals are good, and I would recommend people doing them, but don't let them be done without love and don't let them be a substitute for love.
Yeah.
So anyways,
that's
good, man. Great questions.
Thanks.
Listen, talking about temptation is the easy part. Fighting the temptation is the hard part. And here's my hope for you is that maybe through these last two episodes, God has given you some hope and given you some perspective. And I hope has enriched your mind, your heart, your body, your soul to believe that God has not left you alone to fight sin on your own. He's given you the church. He's given you the word. He's given you the spirit, his spirit. Don't think that you're alone in fighting these battles, and just know that you are loved and that there will be a future day when temptation will be no more. And that will be a day that we can rejoice in our Savior's arms. So I hope that will give you some hope and some perspective this day as you're listening to this. Thanks again for joining us on Life Talks. We'll talk to you next time.
You've been listening to Life Talks. Be sure to hit the subscribe button so you never miss a new episode. Share this podcast on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter to let your friends and family know about Life Talks. We'd love to hear from you as well. So leave a comment and let us know your thoughts on this episode or any other topics we've discussed. Life Talks is a ministry of Life Fellowship in Cornelius, North Carolina. For more information on Life Talks or Life Fellowship, visit lifecharlotte.com or you can find us on Facebook at Life Fellowship Charlotte.